marked on this series by looking at abiding in God and looking at Christ in us and looking at the life of Jesus and how he actually walked this earth and how he actually allowed himself to be to actually live the life that he lived. And you've got to understand, I think we shared last week that Jesus actually laid aside all the authority that he had in heaven as God so that he could actually take on the human form. Amen. He actually had to reduce himself into, he had to limit himself from what he had so that he could be an example on how we could live. So there is nothing that Jesus went through and that is not relatable to us. As we learned last week, everything, every temptation, everything he's been through, he understands. When we pray to him, we're not praying to some God that doesn't understand. His literal comment to us is, I know what you're talking about. I've felt those feelings. I'm with you. Amen? But when he walked here on earth, and I think we've got to understand that even though he was God, he allowed himself to be encapsulated in human form. And there came a place in his life where obviously the Holy Spirit was absolutely key to the life of Jesus. We know in early times that Jesus was born, conceived of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And even as later on in his life, we'll talk about it a bit more, that he was actually filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to make sure that every one of us in this room actually realizes that we are to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes people get confused. They go, do I talk to Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit? Well, I think when you understand who the Holy Spirit is, the three are one and they are God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But you do need to realize that Christ actually drew on the Holy Spirit. He talked to the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And I think for us as believers, we need to realize what the Holy Spirit's function is, what his role is, who he is to us as believers. It says that in Luke 3:22, it says, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And it says in Luke 4, verse 1 to 2, that Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he was led. So Jesus' life, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was led by the Holy Spirit, he was guided by the Holy Spirit. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus actually did not perform a miracle until he was filled by the Holy Spirit. So even though he was God, maybe turn this down a little bit, because I can get excited because I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Even though he was God, he still didn't perform any miracles until he was filled by the Holy Spirit. Come on. Now, could of Jesus have done that? Well, yeah. He could have, because he was God, if he chose to. But he was actually choosing to live under the same set of circumstances that we as believers would live. Are you with me? He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. Come on, he was God. But God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, chose to limit his power so that he could show us how to live. He prayed to the Father. We learned that last week through communication. But when it came to the help, to the enabling, to the power, he waited. He leaned on and drew on the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we need to realize for us as believers how powerful the Holy Spirit is in our lives and for all of us in this place. And I'm sure there's a lot of people in this place and you're thinking, well, you know, I know a lot about the Holy Spirit. But we've got to realize that the Holy Spirit is powerful. I'm going back a little bit more. And it says the Holy Spirit, we understand, is God. But the Holy Spirit is not a wind, yet he's being described as that. It's a type of what he does, but it's a he. The Holy Spirit is a he, amen? He's a personality. He's someone we talk to, someone we have a relationship with, we have a connection with, and he is powerful. We've got three persons, three functions, and for us as Christians, I actually think we have three experiences. You see, you get the Father, our Heavenly Father, He cares for us. He's that authority that cares for us. And the Savior, He's the one that saved us. He paid the price to save us. But the Holy Spirit is the one that empowers us and helps us. Amen? It's through His power that we live this incredible life. And even though Jesus won what He won on the cross, what happened in you was a direct result of the Holy Spirit as a believer. Now, I want to jump into two things that you've got to understand about the Holy Spirit. Number one, there's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and then there's the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And they are two separate things. Are you with me? Are you okay? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and I actually believe a lot of believers get confused. They actually in their minds think, when we start talking about the Holy Spirit in church, they start thinking, yes, I've got the Holy Spirit, I've got the Spirit of God, I've got the Holy Spirit, and they're relating to one aspect. But when we start talking about other things like speaking in tongues and baptism in the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit, like, oh, hold on, I'm not quite sure. Well, how does that fit? And where does that fit? And is that weird, or is that something different, or something we need to accept as believers? I'm telling you today that the Holy Spirit is a part of your life if you're a believer. But there are two things that He does in your life. He indwells in you. I'm going to go through that. I'm going to prove to you where the Holy Spirit indwells in you. And then He fills you. Are you with me? Because I tell you what, if you don't understand those two, then you're kind of going to be running this Christian life without the power or without the motivation to do what God's called you to do. And there's whole chunks of the church, and I've had debates with people, and they're going, oh, well, you know, those things were for back then in the disciples' time, and all this power and all the gifts of the Spirit were way back then. Well, that's rubbish. God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and in the future. That totally contradicts who God is, amen? But I think what people don't understand is the two aspects of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to start with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because I think when we talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit, we've talked about that a bit, but the indwelling power and the work of the Holy Spirit is something that you need to understand of what He does. Now, everyone in this room, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20, says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Now, your first introduction to the Holy Spirit is when you get saved. From the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Come on. Every one of you has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit if you're a believer. Straight away, this presence of the Holy Spirit, you actually become a temple of the Holy Spirit. This mortal body, as shabby as it's looked at 51 years of age, is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we use that scripture to say, well, you know, it's a temple, make it look good. Some of us, we're looking a little bit ruined temples, but we're temples, right? People come to see the ruins. We need to look after our temple. But when you become a believer, your life, you become a temple of the Holy Spirit. He takes residence up in you. Come on. See, quite often when you read in the Bible, you're talking about the Spirit of God. Yes, the Holy Spirit's the Spirit of God, but it's the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Are you with it? Come on. I'm trying to give you an understanding, because we need to understand how powerful and how incredible the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is, because he is someone that you need to communicate with. He's someone that Jesus communicated with. He's someone that we need to communicate with. The Holy Spirit abides in us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. We're going to go there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed love that God has for us. God is love, and God who abides in love abides in God. So he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. I want to say something here. You can't be born again without having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Simple as that. You're not born again. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you are not born again. So for us, there's parts of the church who just think, oh, you know, just the Holy Spirit. Quite often they're talking about the filling of the Spirit, the rejecting it. But you can't reject, when you reject his filling, you're kind of rejecting his indwelling. Are you with me? If you keep pushing the Holy Spirit and who he is in your life away, then you'll get confused over all the things that he does in your life. And because he comes in at the moment of salvation, what I'm trying to say is when Jesus, he won for us all these aspects that make us a new believer, a new creation. And guess what? It's the Holy Spirit that outworks them in our life. Come on. John chapter 3, verse 3 to 6, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again? He is old. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Good question. I love the bluntness. Like, Nicodemus is like, he's thinking natural, right? His head's like, and Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Amen. See, the Holy Spirit is he's the seal on your life that you are saved. There's like a seal across your heart. There's a stamp on your forehead. There's an understanding on your life. When you are saved, you have the seal of the Holy Spirit because he is inside of you. He dwells in you. And I think for us as believers, we've got to embrace the Holy Spirit. We actually need, and as I'll talk later about the filling of the Holy Spirit and talk about, I want to get into what the Holy Spirit does, because you actually need to know what he's involved in. Amen? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 to 14 says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption and the purchased possession to the praise of glory. Come on. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. He's in you. Simple as that. There's something you need to rectify on your mind and your heart, and you need to understand that there is a relationship, a connection with the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, you would not have resurrection life. Amen? You see, Jesus won it for us, but the Holy Spirit is the one that's activating it for us. Who do you think rose Jesus from the dead? Come on. Even though they're all three are God, I know it's sometimes you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. But they understand that they're three personalities, three functions, three things they do. They have different responsibilities and functions. Amen? And when we as believers understand Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we understand that actually there are three experiences for us. Come on. And sometimes when you're engaging with God, you need to know what you're experiencing. Sure, you can just say the word God and it kind of filters its way, but you need to talk to personalities. The Holy Spirit is a separate personality to Jesus and the Father. Come on. And sometimes we've got to push him to the side. We think, oh, no, 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 no. But the reality is that we actually need to understand who the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Amen? Romans chapter 8, we'll read that, verse 9 to 11. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, come on, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit and dwells in you. Now, it talks about Jesus being in your spirit and talks about the Holy Spirit. Amen? Come on. Now, that could be for our infinite minds, finite minds. We're kind of like, oh. But the reality is you need to understand that you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, and he actually activated resurrection life. If you believe that you're going to be living in heaven in a new heavenly body, well, thank the Holy Spirit for that. Jesus activated it on the cross. The Holy Spirit's the one that's brought it into your life. Amen? Because he actually did it to Christ. Are you with me? You're kind of getting there. See, sometimes when you look at this, you've got to realize that there are things, there is a relationship, there's this intimate relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And for us as believers, there are some great opportunities to understanding how the Trinity works in our lives. Amen? Now, my clarification is don't get too, you can't talk to God because the three are one. Amen? But the reality is we do need to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because Jesus actually mimicked that part of our life. Amen? And if you want your life to be, and when we get into the filling of the Spirit, if you actually want to see your life tip into the next stage of seeing God work through you and you're resisting to be filled in the Spirit, well, we need to talk about that, and we're going to talk about that. Amen? So what does the indwelling of the Holy Spirit do in us? We as believers are regenerated and restored and sanctified through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8, verse 13. We must put to death the deeds of the body by the Spirit or perish. Amen? So the Holy Spirit's indwelling in us. He is working to restore us. His Spirit is working on the inside of us. Sanctification is by the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is God's work of redeeming your nature. Amen? Dealing with this junk. The Holy Spirit's in this temple, and he starts to work from the inside out to redeem you, and it comes through the Holy Spirit. Your efforts to work on this area of your life and to become more Christ-like is actually up to the Holy Spirit working in your life. Amen? And you need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Romans 15, 16, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God, from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and the belief in the truth. Amen. You see, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, He's at work to make you more Christ-like. We'll talk about it a bit more, but when we talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit, but the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, when He comes, when you accept Christ, He comes into your life and He starts to work with you to become more Christ-like. Come on. And he starts using the process of sanctification, which means He starts to change you. He starts to work on the inside of you. He starts to help you. If you want to be sanctified, if we want to be Christ-like, we've got this toll on our lives to become more Christ-like. And without the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, we can't do it. We go to Galatians 5, which is really the work of sanctification. Galatians 5, verse 16 to 26 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Everyone say, walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, but if you were led by the Spirit, everyone said led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, everyone say the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So the moment you get saved, you get the Spirit of the Holy Spirit dwells in you, and He starts to work on your life to sanctify you, because His role is to turn you in to the best Jesus Christ you can be. Amen? He starts to work towards the Spirit of Christ, which is that perfection that we have, but He starts to change your nature to become more like Jesus. They work in this unison of each other. Are you with me? And He starts to work on the inside of you to deal with you and to challenge you. Amen? Lovingly. And He does it beautifully from the inside out. Because if you are trying to become more like Christ and you're trying to do it without, it says, and we just read before, without the Holy Spirit, good luck. You can't do it by yourself. Jesus knew that, and that's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. Come on. See, Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, amen? Indwelling. Then why was Jesus baptized by the Holy Spirit? Filling. Come on. Did he not have the Holy Spirit from that age all the way up to his ministry days? Hold on. Well, he did. He had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Come on. But then he got the filling of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? So we've got to realize that the Holy Spirit has two areas in our life, two very, very powerful areas in our life. And you know, when you understand this, you actually, you begin to work with the Holy Spirit. You hearing what I'm saying? You actually start to to think about how he's going to work in our lives and how he's going to do what he's going to do in our lives and how he's going to operate in our lives. Well, the next area we're going to talk about is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The infilling of the Holy Spirit. Is about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's about his help in your life. The indwelling, if you want to sort of somehow get your head around this, the indwelling is the Spirit of the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and that Spirit begins to change us to make us more Christ-like. The empowering of the Holy Spirit is about your function, about what you're called to do. Amen. And for a lot of believers, if you've never actually believed in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, sadly, you're going to lack motivation to outlive a ministry life. Come on. You're actually going to go, oh, I've got the Holy Spirit. You've only got one part. Well, Jesus lived with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He never performed one miracle. Come on. He had the wisdom of God. He sat in the temple at the age 12 and he could read the scriptures. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Reveals truth, what have you. But when he got to the power part, nothing. And for you as a believer, for you to stand back and go, you know what? I don't believe in the filling. I don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're kind of crazy. Because our mission here on this earth is to what? Go and make disciples. Amen. I mean, there's so many missions and commissions on our life. If you look through the Word of God, we're actually called to what Christ did as well. Amen. He was anointed to what? Set at liberty those that are captive. Amen. Heal people. And for us to resist and to push back and to say, you know what? I don't know. It's kind of weird. It doesn't seem right. Well, it's crazy. Because you're holding yourself back from a beautiful, powerful aspect to your Christianity. And Jesus couldn't do what he wanted to do and fulfill without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So what makes you think you can? Amen? And so do you have the Holy Spirit? Yes. Every one of you. If you're a believer, you've got the Holy Spirit. But do you have the filling of the Holy Spirit? Well, that's debatable. Amen? See, if you actually look at the disciples, I mean, Jesus breathed on them. And he says, he breathed on them and the Holy Spirit came into them, right? And this is when he was resurrected. And disciples, I haven't got the scripture there, but I know I read it. And then in Acts, then he still tells them, you need to wait. And in Acts, they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on. So there's two, there's indwelling and there's infilling. There's two aspects to who the Holy Spirit is. And you need to understand it. It's something beautiful and powerful. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 24:49, "Behold, I send to you a promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endowed so with power from on high." Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's an endowment of power. It's a totally different experience to the indwelling. Completely different. You've got the Holy Spirit if you're saved. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've got the seal of God. The Holy Spirit activated what Christ won on the cross in your life. He activated resurrection life. He's activated sanctification and righteousness. He's activated that in your life. He's got that going, and he's working on it in your life. But the next thing is for you to be an active believer doing what Christ has called you to do, the command and commission. Amen? And Jesus himself, from the moment the dove descended, the Spirit, then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Amen? And then from that moment on, all Jesus broke loose. I was going to say all hell broke loose. This didn't seem right. He tore it up under the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit. Amen? See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit actually is not for unbelievers. Come on. Well, the indwelling is. That's a bit weird. The indwelling is because for unbelievers because it turns them into Christians. Come on. But the actual power, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not. John chapter 14, verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Amen? Well, the Spirit of God, we know the Holy Spirit dwells in us. He's going after everyone who's unsaved. But if you want the infilling, it's different. Now, this is where speaking in tongues comes into it. Now, we as a movement, which I actually rightly believe, the ACC, Australian Christian Churches, we believe that speaking in tongues is evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Now, if you get that messed up in your head and start to think that that's evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're going to get messed up because we don't believe that. Are you with me? The indwelling comes at salvation, right? The infilling is what happened to Jesus when the dove came upon him. Are you trying to tell me he wasn't dwelling with the Holy Spirit didn't dwell in him? Come on. Are you with me? So, let me be blunt. If you don't speak in tongues, I actually doubt that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. How are you going? You're dwelling with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit dwells in you. But if you don't speak in tongues, I doubt that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if you look at, and we'll go through it. I haven't got time to go through it today. I'll show you through scriptures. Whenever the Holy Spirit filled people, they spoke in other tongues. Come on. It's evidence of a language, a godly, spiritual, heavenly language that you receive when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's changed the atmosphere, hasn't it? I wanted to present something to try and deal with this because this series is about abiding in God. And if you're not getting that, if you don't understand the Holy Spirit, Jesus drew on the Holy Spirit for everything. Come on. He related to the Father. He spoke to the Father like we speak to the Son. Amen. He had that connection. He had that prayer life with the Father. We talked about that last week. But if you want to talk about where he got his power, where he resisted, where he stood, where his miracles came from, where his ministry came from, where his motivation, his unction, his speaking, his sermons, where all that came from the Holy Spirit. Let me just start another. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. I won't get into everything about. I want to get into, next time I speak, I want to talk about what you can start to ask the Holy Spirit to do in your life. There's a list of amazing, beautiful things. The Holy Spirit empowered men to write the Bible. Are you hearing me? So he's the Spirit of truth. If you want to draw on him, when you read your Bible, you should be going, Holy Spirit, I don't understand this. Because guess what? He wrote the book. About Jesus, yes. About the Father, yes. But he wrote it. Amen? Feeling of the Holy Spirit. I know there's resistance. I don't know where you've come from. Is speaking in tongues weird? Yeah. So is raising someone from the dead. So is turning water into wine. So is a boy with a basket with five loaves and fishes and suddenly a whole crowd of 5,000 plus women and children are fed. That's weird. Amen. Blind person being healed is weird. Don't ever think that what God does fits into our understanding. For me, my revelation of speaking in tongues, it is a pure, in actual fact, I believe it's the Holy Spirit praying through me. Because he indwells in me, amen? And that language is allowing through the filling of the Holy Spirit to pray through me a perfect prayer. And the book of Jude, Apostle Paul said, I do it more than all of you. Because he knew that it was a power, it was like a secret weapon that you had. Amen? And I need, if anything in all of this, I need you to be open to it. How many people in this place speak in tongues? Give me a raise. Okay. You know you do. I'm not out to embarrass you if you're not, but I'm actually trying to get you to a place where you step over a line and decide that you're going to. You're gonna open yourself up to this. Amen? Because when you're in that place, when you know the filling of the Holy Spirit, he's incredible. Acts 10, verse 44 to 46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who had believed were astonished, as many and came with Peter because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on all the Gentiles also, but heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Ephesians 5, verse 18 to 20, don't be drunk with wine, in which it is dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you know something about the filling of the Holy Spirit? It's a continual thing. Come on. You get your prayer language, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, but the filling of the Holy Spirit is something you continually do. Amen? It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. It's something that you need to ask and seek for and go after in your life. Often every Sunday, I lock myself away in a place and I prepare and I put worship on and I get filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be anointed when I get up here, amen? And I ask for it. Holy Spirit, fill me. The reason why I do that, an hour and a half, I get aside, go to that place. Why? I go over my notes or whatever, or I pray, but I ask for the Holy Spirit to fill me afresh. Amen? I kind of learn. It doesn't work for me otherwise. He covers me. But if I ask for it, it's something beautiful and powerful. And some of you just need to know that in your lives you need to be filled in the Holy Spirit. You, Mr. Rayner, you need to ask the Holy Spirit every time you walk into that workplace to fill you. And I tell you what, I believe the Holy Spirit for you is going to change that environment. You're going to sense His anointing. I already feel the Holy Spirit. I know you've had challenges at work. You need to ask the Holy Spirit, fill me before you get out of your car and before you walk in there, because there are a spirit in you has greater power than any spirit that's in that place. And I believe there's an anointing that's going to come on you. And you're just going to see situations change. You're going to see people's temperaments change. You're going to see people that are antagonistic and what have you, they're going to pull back, because you're filled with the Spirit. Because that ground, you're anointed, and you need to call on the filling of the Holy Spirit when you walk in there and understand that you're anointed. Amen? Just believe the Holy Spirit just gave me a strategy just to tell you. Pray. Put the music on. Get to work early. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me. I'm going to change this environment, because the Spirit that's in me is going to turn this thing around. Because there's all sorts of crazy little demonic things going on. And you're sent there to change the environment. Amen? Who feels the Holy Spirit here? I do. I want to talk about seeking next time. I'm out of time. I'm in the red. That's not the red letters of the Bible, because that would be nice. It's the red letter of the clock at the back. I just sense the Holy Spirit here. Just next time I'll talk about I need to give time to pray for people. I wanted to get this message out, but I want to pray, spend some time praying. Every single person can be filled with the Holy Spirit. I've seen people and speak in tongues. It's not, you just got to understand, and we'll talk about it the way that Christ talked about it, where the Word of God talks about it as a gift, amen, from a beautiful Heavenly Father. But why don't we just stand for a moment? Come on, in this moment, why don't you just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you? Come on. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. It's His miracles. It's His power. It's His enabling power. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Fill your people in this place, Holy Spirit. I know that looking across this room, and because it's weekend, I pretty much know everyone here, so I'm going to leave the salvation side. I don't always do that, but I just feel it. I just feel if you don't know, if you haven't got the indwelling of this Spirit of God, if you don't know Jesus, please, I pray that you would come and talk to one of us afterwards. Come and talk to me, then we'd love to pray that you would come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the step one. That overrides everything. That's step one. You're called. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're called to have the Spirit of God living within you. We'll pray this prayer. Can't help myself. We're going to have to do it. Let's pray this prayer. And if you've never prayed a prayer to accept Christ, I pray that you would just pray it with sincerity today as we do it. And we're going to do it as a church. We're going to join with you. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. As you come into my life, set me free from all my sin. In Jesus' name, I accept that I'm a child of God, that the Spirit of Christ dwells in me. In Jesus' name, amen. After service, if you really want today to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, I'm willing. We've kind of run out of time, but I'll be over there. So if you want to, come and do it. I love praying for people. But that's it. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, what an awesome word. I kind of liken the Holy Spirit to us Christian